Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days. Jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Melis.
Hello and welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast with the Reigning Jays. Today it's me, Jay King from MassLive.com, joined by Sam Jam Packard, the great, the god. Thank you, Rajon Rondo, I just want to start this off by saying, for giving us something to podcast about. We could have looked back at the Rockets game. We could have talked about Isaiah Thomas officially being named an NBA All-Star starter, but none of that would be as electric a conversation as we can have about Rajon Rondo lighting up Jimmy Butler, Dwayne Wade, and the Chicago Bulls on Instagram. So if you guys haven't seen what happened, Rondo put a picture of himself, Kevin Garnett, and Pierce.
Hold up. You gotta tell the backstory.
Let's rewind. So after the Bulls lost Wednesday night, Butler and Wade both went to the media with their issues. And basically they said that the younger players on the team didn't care enough. And they were questioning the team's heart, questioning the team's desire, work ethic, all that. So Rajon Rondo, the third member of the three alphas with Wade and Butler, went on Instagram, posted a photo of him next to Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce during their Celtics days, and just blasted Butler and Wade. Like, this was just scorched earth, light them on fire, like pour kerosene on them, light them on fire, and sit back and watch the blaze. So I'm going to read the full message for effect, because it is just incredible, man. My vets would never go to the media, Rondo wrote on Instagram. They would come to the team. My vets didn't pick and choose when they wanted to bring it. They brought it every time they stepped in the gym, whether it was practice or a game. They didn't take days off. My vets didn't care about their numbers. My vets played for the team. When they lost, they wouldn't blame us. They took responsibility and got in the gym. They showed the young guys what it meant to work. I mean, and this thing continues. It goes on and on.
No, you got to read the full thing, dude. You got to give the people what they need.
Even in Boston, when we had the best record in the league, if we lost a game, you could hear a pin drop on the bus. They showed us the seriousness of the game. My vets didn't have an influence on the coaching staff. They couldn't change the plan because it didn't work for them. I played under one of the greatest coaches, and he held everyone accountable. It takes 1 through 15 to win. When you isolate everyone, you can't win consistently. I may be a lot of things, but I'm not a bad teammate. A lot of his teammates will vouch for that, I will say. My goal is to pass what I learned along. The young guys work. They show up. They don't deserve blame. If anything is questionable, it's the leadership. Boom! boom, like that.
Shots fired at Dwayne Wade and Jimmy Butler.
Incredible. Just an incredible Instagram post. And that's why the NBA is the best, because stuff like this happens. Oh, man. The irony of Rondo going to Instagram to complain that fellow teammates use the media to bash other teammates. It's just incredible. The whole thing's incredible. My favorite part of the whole thing might have been that Rondo, like, the message, no typos. Like, it was like he sent it to a newspaper editor. Classic Rondo, like just turns out this masterpiece. If I had sent that to my editors, they would have been like, who'd you have write for you? This thing doesn't have any typos, man. Like, just unreal. The whole thing. I love it.
One of my favorite aspects is that in the actual picture of the vets, no Ray Allen, which is funny to me. And then we just got a great Evan Turner tweet saying, I wonder if Rondo is willing to fight Wade or Butler on the undercard of the Soldier Boy Chris Brown event. So it's just perfect Evan Turner coming in from the top rope. Things are going not well in Chicago, and this is going to – I know every single Celtics fan's reaction is like, well, this is going to lead to that Jimmy Butler trade that's coming down the pipeline. I don't know if that's going to happen, but we need some – with the LeBron like openly clashing with his with the ownership and the funeral game earlier this week, just the NBA drama has never been better, and it's kind of exactly what we needed to get through January.
I need this to be a thing every January. Like, all of a sudden the dog days show up in January, and guys just figure out different ways to break storylines. I mean, this is incredible. This is a complete implosion. When the Bulls put together Rondo, Wade, and Butler, people thought there could be issues because those guys all have strong personalities. They've all been stars at certain points of time. And, yeah, this qualifies as probably Chicago's worst fear. You've got Wade and Butler taking down all the younger teammates. You've got Rondo flying in from the top ropes with the Instagram message from hell. Like, this was just a monster social media showing from Rondo. Amazing stuff. And yeah, like, I will say it's obviously premature to talk about the possibility of Butler getting traded. And it would be a lot easier to move Rondo than move Butler. It would be a lot smarter to move Rondo than to move Butler. I will say this about that whole situation. Number one, the Bulls have tried to trade Butler in the past. They have explored that market. They talked to the Celtics among other teams at draft time. Number two, they were looking for a point guard, Chris Dunn, at that time. The upcoming draft, in which the Celtics will have one of the best picks, has maybe four or five point guards that are regarded as better prospects than Dunn. Number three, this Bulls team, it's a mediocre team right now, and I think they'll be at least mediocre as long as Butler's there. But they just don't have any young talent, like.
How dare you slander Dougie McBuckets like that?
I mean, shout out to Dougie McBuckets, but they just don't have a lot of young talent, and like it's hard to envision them getting a lot better. And maybe they want to trade Butler bottom out and rebuild another way. So who knows? It would be bizarre to trade an all-NBA type guy who has a bargain contract at this point. But, like, I don't see what else the Bulls are going to do. I mean, that they've now had two completely combustible teams in back-to-back years. And things are on fire in Chicago.
Yeah, but it's so much easier from kind of, I guess, the fan perspective to say, blow it up, and I feel like fans are much more well motivated to think that way because it results in the Celtics getting Jimmy Butler. But I know everyone talks about, and kind of the thing is like, it's, you don't want to be in the middle, but this, the Bulls are still like the 8 seed in the playoffs. For all the talk about how the Bucks have been so great this year, they're a full game ahead of the Bucks with Giannis and everything like that. So they're still in the mix for something. It's just a lot harder if you're like the owner of an organization to actually, you know, trade a star player. Because say you trade, even if the guy is Markelle Fultz is the person you're getting back, you kind of, you have no guarantee that he's even going to turn into a fraction of the player that Jimmy Butler already is. So it's kind of crazy to imagine just dealing away anything like the talent of Jimmy Butler. I mean, the Bulls should really be criticized for bringing in Rondo and Dwayne Wade this season when they could have just kind of waited for max cap room next year. I think this means Rondo has to be out of town. Like, they were probably just going to eat that contract, but I don't know if it's dysfunctional enough to see Jimmy Butler going. I would expect them to fire Fred Hoiberg before they part ways with Jimmy Butler.
Yeah. I mean, something's got to change over there. Oh man, Rondo from the clouds, like just dropping flames on his teammates. Just an unreal Thursday night Instagram post from my man Rajon Rondo. I can't get over just how amazing that is. And oh man,
he needs to join KG in Area 21 just permanently. Just them two having a show together would be fantastic.
I'd be so on board for that. So on board. And KG just calling him Shorty all night.
Hey yo, Shorty, what'd you think about this? It'd be perfect.
I'm fully on board with Rondo, a full-time employee of KG Area 21. Let's do it. Get Perk in there, too.
And Rashid's been there, too. Just get the whole gang back together. Yeah. Big Baby Davis.
I just need Perk, Rondo, and KG. That's all I need.
But Perk can't talk, though. Perk just has to stand there and scowl.
No. Perk has to talk. Perk's slow draw. Perk's a funny dude, man. Perk would be awesome on that show. Oh man, Rondo. This, I mean, I'm like speechless about this. This is one of the times when you look at something and it's just hard to digest. Like the NBA, crazy stuff happens in the NBA all the time, but sometimes shit surprises you, and this is one of those times. Like, it was bad enough when Butler and Wade went to the media and took shots at their younger teammates. Namelessly, I will say, it was anonymous. but not it was anonymous from them, but they didn't call out guys by name. But then Rondo coming in, lighting up Butler and Wade. Oh, man. You couldn't script this stuff.
What are the chances that Rondo shows up to shoot around tomorrow or even the game? Like, does Rondo have the balls to walk into the locker room after posting that?
Oh, absolutely. Rondo, he'll probably he probably can't wait to go to the locker room. Like, he's a guy, I feel like he kind of, I don't think he appreciates friction, but he doesn't hide
from it. I think he does appreciate friction. He feels like he seeks out friction.
Yeah, maybe he does. Maybe he's just trying to get away from the team. You know, maybe he's like, this is not the situation I intended. I've been benched. My supposed to be co-stars are going wild, and I mean, yeah, maybe he's just angling at a trade.
It's a weird dynamic though, because
poor Fred Hoiberg, man.
Oh, yeah, he has. Well, there was that clip from last night's game where basically Fred Hoiberg was asking Jimmy Butler to take a timeout. It looked like Jimmy Butler either said fuck no or what no. But either way, wasn't a good look for Hoiberg. But according to, I think it was Casey Johnson, is that the guy who writes for?
That is correct.
Oh, thank you, Chris Farley. the Wade-Butler kind of speech was kind of directed at Michael Carter-Williams and Mirotić. And so, but Michael Carter-Williams is the guy who replaced Rondo in the starting lineup. So for Rondo to come in and kind of like defend the person who replaced him is really kind of bizarre. And it just doesn't really make any sense Like, why now does he speak up? Or, and he has to know, like, the controversy that this is going to cause. It's just, it's fantastic stuff. It's just, you gotta love the NBA in January.
It's amazing, man. I feel like I could talk about this and just dissect it for so long. Like, so many angles to it. Rondo just, I'm somewhat speechless now. It is just like, it's just an incredible, incredible Instagram post. Thank you, Rajon, for making this mid-January day a better day. We appreciate you and your hatred for your teammates and your ability to spark headlines, your ability to ignite conversation. This podcast thanks you. We thank you. All right, moving on. We can't talk about it all day, sadly. We've got Eastern Conference All-Stars. Isaiah Thomas has officially been named a reserve. I don't really have any thoughts on that. Like, it was pretty clear he was going to make the reserves as soon as he didn't make the starting lineup. He has been absolutely out of control good offensively for the last month and a half. There was no way they were keeping him off that team. So the fact that he's on the team, yeah, it's cool, whatever, like two-time All-Star, very, very exciting stuff, but this was not at all unexpected. It was pretty much a given entering the night.
Yeah, they would have been absolutely shocking if he didn't make the team. The one kind of interesting thing about the Eastern Conference reserves is that he's there with four other point guards. There's going to be a lot of kind of, I guess, posturing. I'm assuming NBA players are genuinely friendly in kind of this all-star environment, but Isaiah is going to be there next to Kyrie, Lowry, Kemba Walker, and John Wall, the guy that kind of the undertaker, the head of the funeral parade. It might get a little testy in the East locker room. It's just going to be interesting to see if there's any kind of a dynamic there, because Isaiah has gone out of his way to kind of say that he thinks he's better than these four guys, but now they're on the same team. I know it's an exhibition and no one really cares about the All-Star team, but it's just it's fun. It's just going to be fun to see the East team with five point guards on it. It's just not something you would expect.
Yeah. I wonder how much playing time Isaiah will get, because there are so many point guards. And last year, obviously, he didn't play too much. But this year, you know, he's second in the NBA in scoring. And, I mean, maybe it'll depend on whether Brad Stevens is the coach. Brad Stevens. The Celtics are just half game back at Toronto as we record this podcast. So it's possible that we'll see Stevens coaching. And maybe Isaiah will play a lot. Or maybe he would bench Isaiah to keep him fresh for the second half of the season. Who knows? I'm a big hater of the All-Star game, by the way. Like, I cannot stand how players compete in the All-Star game. I'm like one of those, I turn into like this 90-year-old grandpa who hates the lack of defense. And that's only because if you had all the All-Stars and they really took it as a real game and played hard as hell, that game would be amazing. Like, imagine LeBron James and Kyle Lowry and all the great players in the East against all the West. It would be just fantastic basketball, amazing basketball. But instead, we get just a shit show of guys letting other guys dunk. And I hate that crap.
Yeah, it's never a good basketball game. They maybe turn up the defensive effort a little bit in the fourth quarter, but you know, it's never going to mean anything. I feel like the whole point of All-Star Weekend is the three-point shootout and the dunk contest. But after that, I can't really remember any moments from an actual All-Star game. The one thing that's just I understand it. Like, it would be an amazing basketball game, but there's really no motivation for the players to like play that hard, except for kind of, I guess, personal pride at this point. But no one has pride like in the Eastern Conference or anything like that. Like, you always hear about like old timey stories about like the AL and NL, and like those teams really hated each other back in the '70s. And you would see clips of Pete Rose like bowling over the catcher and literally ending Ray Fosse's career in an All-Star game. So I just don't think that's like practical to have these days. And I'm just imagining the Twitter outrage if someone got injured in an All-Star game. I don't know if they're probably a little bit more likely to get injured if they're playing hard defense. Someone could still like have a non-contact injury or like twist an ankle, but just the outrage if anyone was to get hurt in an All-Star game, people would be upset. They might have to cancel all subsequent All-Star games if like LeBron James went down with a torn ACL or something.
Yeah, but you could get hurt at practice. You could get hurt anywhere. Like, I don't know. To me, I get why it is what it is, but it would just be so much fun to see those guys compete balls to the wall, and that's my All-Star game theory. Not my All-Star game theory. That is my All-Star game belief. Screw the All-Star game. I'll watch it just because what the hell else am I going to be doing? But not a big All-Star guy. Certainly not a Rising Stars Challenge guy. That shit is horrendous. And
it's all the fun of the All-Star game but much less talent.
Yeah, I'm a curmudgeon when it comes to All-Star weekend. And then I usually hate the dunk contest unless like Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon are just going crazy. Then it's impossible to hate that. Like when they're a good dunk contest, it's great. When they're bad, it bores me.
What do you think about that silly skills competition where they throw passes?
Get it out of my face. I'm telling you, All-Star Weekend. I'm not a curmudgeon often, but All-Star Weekend grinds my gears a little bit. All right, let's get to the mystery machine. So
Hold on. I just wanted to say one more thing about the All-Star game was that the process of adding the media and the player vote to the starters was damn helpful, because this is the first time in I think almost 7 years that we have no Dwayne Wade and no Carmelo Anthony, and that would needed to happen. I was kind of sick of the legacy appearances, so to get them out of the starting lineup worked. Those two guys did not deserve to be in the All-Star game, so and they're not. So kudos to the NBA for actually getting 12 players on each roster who deserve to be there.
Woohoo!
Hooray! In another meaningless game. Oh, and I had another thought.
Oh, we got more thoughts.
The reserves of the East are definitive proof that the NBA is not rigged, because the All-Star game is entirely meaningless. And if you were the NBA and you just wanted to increase the entertainment value, you would rig that to put Joel Embiid in that game because he's one of the most entertaining players in the league right now. But instead, they went with what seems to be the actual coach's vote and put in Paul Millsap, who's just kind of a – I know he did some crazy things against the Celtics in the playoffs last year, but he's a kind of a boring player. No one's tuning into the All-Star game to watch Paul Millsap. So this was a one opportunity that the NBA really had to rig something in their league, and they didn't do it, thus evidence that nothing else in the NBA is rigged.
I think we just had a conspiracy theory about a conspiracy theory. So this is breaking new Locked On Celtics ground right here. So congratulations, Sam, for...
Oh, thank you. I put a lot of thought into it in the last 3 minutes.
For taking us to a new place. All right, we're going to go to an old place now, the Mystery Machine. So Jaylen Brown this summer tweeted out a picture of himself with a van that looked like the Scooby-Doo Mystery Machine. Every week, we choose five players who most deserve to go on the Mystery Machine for one reason or another. Who you got this week, Sam? Who's your number one choice?
The permanent driver of the Mystery Machine, Mr. All-Star himself, Isaiah Thomas, just doing Isaiah Thomas things, kind of casually scoring 38 points in that game against the Rockets. Who else? I mean, it's obvious.
With my second choice, I am going to go with Marcus Smart, because he punched a hole in a wall. And then not only did he punch a hole in the wall, but he said he didn't remember punching the hole in the wall. But if there was a hole in the wall, then he guessed he did it. So the explanation for that gets Marcus Smart on my Mystery Machine. I'm okay with him trying to check himself in, because the drama it caused was entertainment. And everybody in that locker room knows he's just Marcus. He just wants to win. When he does stuff like that, he's kind of out of his mind for just a little bit, and then he'll come back to reality a little later, as he did. I thought his apology was actually awesome. Like, a lot of the time, guys send out apologies on Twitter, and it is, like, it seems kind of fake. It seems like someone forced them to do it. His felt genuine, and maybe that's, I'm reading too far into things, but as far as apologies go, Marcus Smart was good. So an entertaining week from Smart, even if he's played better weeks of basketball, he's on the mystery machine.
Yeah, no, I just like really enjoy the idea of him completely blacking out and punching a hole in the wall during his rage and just actually not remembering it. I don't know if that's the case and he was just kind of being coy, but the idea of his rage blackout would explain a lot of his actions on the court sometimes. There was one point last night where he had a sequence where he had he made an above the break three. And then just went for the one of the most reckless steal attempts I've ever seen, and left Trevor Ariza wide open for a three. And it just, Marcus Smart with blackouts, it just would seem to make sense to me.
Yep. All right. Who's the third pick?
Third pick is going to be Jay Crowder. I thought he played terrific defense on James Harden last night. I was specifically watching kind of how they would deal with Harden in the pick and roll. And I thought Crowder did an excellent job. I think he chimped in 20 points as well. If you were going to, I don't want to say you shut down James Harden, but James Harden was pretty much from all places other than the free throw line. James Harden was not that good last night. And I think that a lot of that had to do with Jay Crowder. And Crowder's taken kind of his defensive statistics in terms of defensive plus minus, which I'm not really sure how that works, but his statistics are down from last year and people have criticized his defense. I don't know how founded that is, but at least last night against the Rockets, he did a damn good job against James Harden. So when you contain the beard, when you trim the beard, you get to ride in the mystery machine.
Yeah, I also thought that he played one of his better offensive games of the season too. You know, to miss seven threes, and that sounds counterproductive because he did miss his first seven threes. He didn't hit one until like the last minute of the game. But to miss all those threes and still finish with 23 points, it showed how good he was cutting, how he was aggressive, getting to the basket, got a lot of easier points. So Jay Crowder, good pick on the mystery machine. I'm going with Al Horford, number four pick. And I mean, we're going to basically just pick the starters. I think it's mostly going to be the starters. I thought about Jonas Jerebko as my pick because I thought you might lean toward Horford if I picked Jerebko first, but Horford has to be on after a huge, huge game against the Rockets. I mean, he was everywhere. Every time they sent a double his way, he picked the defense apart. He scored 20 points. He grabbed a bunch of rebounds. He switched onto Harden in the fourth quarter and did a pretty damn good job of containing him when that happened. He dove onto the floor after that loose ball in the fourth quarter and popped it ahead for a layup. So Al Horford, huge, huge game from Al Horford to find his way onto the mystery machine.
Yeah, no, he's definitely deserving. And I'm just constantly amazed by his kind of interior passing and his patience and just like how much the offense is better when he's on the court. So he definitely deserves it. You're right. I was going to lean towards Jerebko because anytime you just get incredibly bloody on the court, I feel like that's worthy. But I like going a wild card with the last spot. So I'm going to someone who's not even on the Celtics. I'm going with Evan Turner. He came into town, provided some amazing quotes. He's really tweeting up a storm right now, taking on all comers on Twitter. So I suggest everyone go check out Evan Turner's Twitter timeline right now. He's just a gem, and I just want to give him the kind of the highest honor I could think of.
How dare you not put Jerebko in there? Don't get me wrong. I am the greatest Evan Turner fan of like his media presence is amazing. A guy is the greatest from a media standpoint. There is no one better. I think you should have gone with Jarebko. We have never had.
He got punched in the face?
No, because he started against the Rockets and did one hell of a job. He brought energy. He hit his 1-3. He really helped their defense, I thought. For the first time, their defense showed up. And I don't think it was a coincidence that Jonas Jarebko, on the same night, brought all sorts of energy and did some switching. And so Jarebko deserved it. Evan Turner, I can't get mad at you for Evan Turner, though.
It feels like a safe pick. I feel like Jarebko was pretty trash against the New York Knicks and was one of the people, along with Kelly Olynyk, who's just kind of unable to defend anyone. Like, we have a lot of recency.
Everyone was trash against the New York Knicks.
I know, but I had in my notes Jarebko is especially trash. Me and John each picked a slow white guy to pick on. He picked on Olynyk. I picked on Jarebko.
Dear Sam, everyone was also trash against the Washington Wizards. That's
touche. Touche.
That's all I got. But they weren't trash against the Houston Rockets. The Celtics defense is at least temporarily for one night back. This podcast is always, always there. We don't have to come back because we never leave. We're here Monday through Friday bringing you the goods. Everybody, if you want to subscribe to us, go to Locked On Celtics. Search for Locked On Celtics wherever you listen to podcasts, iTunes, Audio Boom, Stitcher, wherever else. Subscribe to us. Give us a 5-star rating. We appreciate it. We live on it. Thank you for listening. As always, everybody go take a look at that Rondo Instagram post one more time. It's worth it. You'll chuckle every single time you read it. And that's it. That's it for this episode of the Locked On Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.